Amen. Thank you, preacher.
Back to the book of Jeremiah. And tonight I want us to notice a portion of Scripture in chapter 26. Jeremiah chapter 26. We're slowly making our way through, aren't we? We began Sunday morning in chapter 1. Of course, there's a long way to go. Jeremiah chapter 26. Some of Jeremiah's preaching was done in the streets. Street preaching, I guess we would call it today. Some was done from jail cells where they had locked him up. Some of his preaching was done right in front of the king, eyeball to eyeball. His life was threatened, as we have seen this week, again and again and again. And tonight's text is almost, and I've seen it called this today, incidental. It looks like it doesn't fit into its context. Those who are not of our persuasion, those who believe the Word of God has been edited and fashioned according to some redactor, they call the Word. I'd like to say this. Hope I get an amen. What I'm going to read is the inspired Word of God. And what we're about to enjoy is in the place God meant it to be, in the book of Jeremiah. I'll let you decide if it fits or not. I am absolutely convinced it does. Jeremiah woke up one morning and God said, "Today, I want you to go to the gate, to the door of the temple. And that's where I want you to preach." He obeys God. I'm sure he's got his scroll, the written word. And he stands at one of the most, I guess you would say, best known places in all of Jerusalem. Right there at Solomon's temple. And he starts preaching the word of God. Now, that shouldn't sound too odd or unusual, except Jeremiah's kind of preaching is no longer welcome at the temple of Solomon. They've outgrown that kind of stuff. They've become a little more modern, up to date, a little more intellectual than hearing that old-fashioned, do it the fundamental way. That kind of preaching doesn't appeal anymore. Hope you'll smile at me. This day, they got it anyway. God's man is about to proclaim the word. He goes through his regular litany. We've seen it every service since we've gathered here in Jeremiah. He begins to enumerate the sins of the people. He is not gearing his message to the unsaved. He is gearing his message to the people of God. I'm going to say this. I think I might get an amen. Sinners can't get revived. Sinners have to be born again. It's the saint of God who needs to be stirred, refreshed, renewed. And Jeremiah begins his message. He tells them how wrong it is for them to worship the god Molech, where they burn their children alive. Superstition it is. Burn your children alive and the weather will be good when you plant your crops. Burn your children alive and luck, fate will smile upon you as the year unfolds. I just want to say something. This is real plain. Hope I get an amen. That kind of stuff is a lie out of hell. Then Jeremiah just couldn't leave well enough alone. He knows some of them are praying to the sun and the moon and the stars, and they're worshiping the gods and the goddesses of the heaven, all the members of the heathen pantheon. And this old-fashioned preacher, get ready with an amen, he's of the opinion that stuff's wrong too. He's so narrow-minded, he thinks you worship one God. He believes there's only one God. He believes he's the creator of the universe, that great God. I just want to go on record, I lean that way myself. There is only one true living God. But oh, Jeremiah says something that's going to get him in trouble. I'll just have to tell you how it unfolds. And chapter 26 explains what I'm relaying to you verbally. I'm just going to read four verses at the end. Jeremiah says, if you do not repent, if the people of the land of Judah do not get right with God, the Lord's going to allow an enemy army to attack our homeland. Jeremiah goes so far as realizing it's going to be Babylon. Their leader is a man named Nebuchadnezzar. And they're going to destroy this city, Jerusalem, and this country, Judah. Now get ready, here it comes. And this house, this temple that Solomon built. It will be like the temple, the tabernacle at Shiloh. Oh boy. He shouldn't have said that. He just told them that their most famous monument, he just told them in so many words that their little good luck charm, that the thing that guaranteed them God's blessings, that temple, was going to be level because of their low-down sins. And the people became angry at the preacher. The scribes got mad at him. The priests got mad at him. The king's going to get word of it. He'll get mad at him too. And they say in unison, he is worthy of death. He ought to be killed for what he just said. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. And it's a little bit true in some of our Baptist churches. You can preach against just about any sin you want to, but every now and then there's a little holy cow. Every now and then there's a little unmentionable, and if you got a lick of sense, you leave that alone. I didn't even get any amens there. Maybe I did over this one, I don't know. Preach against alcohol, let them have it. Preach against abortion, just rant and rave. Preach against some sexual deviation in everybody's house. But boy, you preach about not tithing, you'll get yourself in trouble in a hurry. I don't know if I got any amens then. I got some laughs. You begin to tell me something about, he mentioned the temple. He said it's going to be destroyed. They're going to kill him. They're going to put him to death. They're going to act the... Jeremiah stands up and he says, what I have told you is the truth. I'm going to need an amen here. Jeremiah didn't say it in English like I'm going to, but here's his intent. What I've told you is the truth. And I ain't backing up an inch. I will stand. And he said, when it comes to hurting me, you can kill me if you want to, but you'll be shedding innocent blood and you'll answer for that also. He's preached it. Don't you admire him? Thank God there's still some preachers today that hadn't compromised, sold out, swept iniquity under the rug. They're still telling, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. All of a sudden, somebody in the crowd spoke up and said, "Wait just a minute before you put this preacher to death." And they knew a little bit about the Bible. They said, "Back in the day of Hezekiah," and Hezekiah is a hero to these Jews, "he was one of the most godly kings that ever, back in the day of Hezekiah, there's a loudmouth preacher come through town named Micah." Micah. Y'all know Micah. There's a book of the Bible named after him. He's one of the little minor prophets. And said that Micah preached the same message to Hezekiah that Jeremiah has preached to us. Micah said, "Repent. And if you don't, God's going to destroy the land, including the temple." You know what? Over the years, the message don't change a lot, does it, Hallelujah? Somebody said, "We need a new message. We need a new..." We don't need a new message. Thank God, we just need a new heart to obey that message. You know what Hezekiah did when Micah rebuked the nation? Hezekiah got on his knees, repented before God, said, "We're going to straighten some things out around here." And revival broke out. God added years to the life of that little lad. Can I tell you something? My God's big enough. He can handle my needs, my family's needs, your family. He can handle the whole nation's needs. He can. Jeremiah's friend there talking said, "They didn't put Micah to death. They honored him for preaching the word. It's not right. If we put this man of God to death, we ought to hail him as a hero and a brave individual telling us what he's done." Long story short, Jeremiah walks out of there, scroll still under his hand, ready to preach. I'll need an amen. Ready to preach on another day. God delivered his prophet. Now we're ready for the text tonight. I'll let you decide how we ought to approach it. I'm a little bit... Where is it? Preacher? Now that's a shock. You go to get your Bible and it's not there. Chapter 26, we begin at verse 20. And there, right after the story I've told you, "And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord." There are two preachers going around telling the truth. "There was a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah." Try to get that name in your mind. Roll it over to Urijah, the son of Shemaiah. They live in Kirjath-Jearim. This preacher, Urijah, he prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. Preacher, he preached the same thing Jeremiah did. Verse 21. "And when Jehoiakim, the king," he's a wicked king, "with all his mighty men and all the princes, when they heard his words," they heard the sermon Urijah preached. "When they heard his words, the king sought to put him to death." The king sought to put him to death. "But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid. And he fled, and he went into Egypt." Verse 22. "And Jehoiakim the king sent men." If you want to think of it this way, he sent a posse. He sent them into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and some men, certain men with him, into Egypt. And they fetched Urijah. They fetched him forth out of Egypt. They brought him unto the king. They brought him unto Jehoiakim. Who, what does your Bible say? I need more of you to tell me. What does it say? Who slew him with a sword. And he cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Didn't even give him a decent burial. And that's what they did to Urijah, the man of God. I need to read that last verse. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, he's the son of Shaphan, that man's hand was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. There's the text God's laid on my heart tonight. I don't know why he's laid on my heart. I don't know how it's going to handle and preach. I just know this is where we're supposed to be. Wish I could handle the conundrum, the riddle. Jeremiah preached the word, escape time and time again, walked out of deadly situation repeatedly, and lived to be, by that age's standards, an old man, still preaching the word. And a young fella named Ahijah, same God, same message, same truth. And they catch him, and they execute him, and throw him in a hole somewhere in the dirt. I want to think about that with you for a little while. All right, let me say this. If you're with me, nod or smile anyway. God doesn't always do things the same way every time. You say, I just don't think it's fair. Jeremiah lived and Urijah died. I just want to say something. I mean it disrespectfully. That's none of our business. I need a little better amen. I say that's none of our business. That's out of my area of expertise. Who lives and who dies, I think, is in the hands of somebody that's a whole lot bigger than I am. Then I will say, I'm just picking things out of the Lord. Leave me. I shall say this. I don't believe God loved Jeremiah 1 ounce more than God loved Urijah. And I've read 2 major commentators today who jump on Urijah, who just put him down and belittle him because he didn't stay in town. He ended up going to... I just want to say something. This is not a stomp on Urijah night. He preached the same word that God, Jeremiah, preached. Far as I'm concerned, hope I get an amen, he's going to be my hero for a little while. My soul, he died for his faith. There's our text. Let's see what the Lord will do with it. Would y'all smile at me a little bit? You say, well, you just killed a prophet. What do you mean, smile at you? Verse number 20. We'll examine it a little more carefully. There was a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, and he's Urijah. A man that prophesied in the name of the Lord. Let's just take some of those words. A man. The noun that is used there for man is enos. It's related to a little Hebrew noun, ish. It's always translated as a man. And it means, and it's masculine in gender. And it's someone that's been created of God, like Adam was created of God. And of course, the natural process is sons and grandsons and great-grandchildren. But the word ish is linked to a word that means frail, weak, and mortal. Let me preach that just a minute. Is Urijah a man of God? He is. Is he a bold preacher? I suspect he is. He died for his faith. But I'll tell you something. He's just as human as the next man is. I believe in honoring the man of God. I believe the man of God that works faithfully in the Scripture, in the Word. I believe he's worthy, Paul said, of double honor. But I want you to keep something in mind. Never been a man born yet outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was a human being and subject to weakness and failure. He's a man. But he's a saved man. He's a God-called man. And I just read right here, he came prophesying the great truths of God. Prophesy. He's a prophet. I want to give you that word prophet. Please get it. Maybe I'll say, please explain it, Brother Bagwell, so we can. Naba, N-A-B-A. That's the noun. Naba, prophet. What does it mean? It's a preacher. It means somebody taught, somebody that expounds the Scripture of truth. But it means this. So important. Naba. The whole idea of the Hebrew or somebody that preached, maybe you'll smile, under the influence. It demands that insight. Under the influence. If I'm not preaching tonight under the influence of somebody bigger than me, nobody will get a thing out of this whole dissertation. Under the influence. Naba, the word for prophet, you say, well, under the influence of what? Well, certainly not alcohol. Certainly not narcotics. Under the influence of God, the Holy Spirit. This man preached that way. Naba. Preaching under the influence. You go one step further back in the etymology, the evolution, the development of the word. And it means someone who quakes. Someone who quivers as they deliver their message. Now that sounds a little eerie. Sounds a bit mystical. But I'm telling you what, in this day of compromise, in this day of lukewarmness, wouldn't it be good to see somebody preach again someday that had the power of God on them under the influence of the Holy Ghost, and they might shake and quiver a little bit, absolutely out of control for His glory. Now if that's fanatical in your mind, that's all right. We'll not argue. He is a prophet. He's a man. He's weak, but he's a prophet of Almighty God. Well, let's see. He's a man. He's a prophet. We're in verse 20. And said he prophesied in the name of the Lord. And he is called Elijah. Oh, let me get that name of the Lord in there. The name of the Lord. Lord is Jehovah, you can see that up. But the name of the Lord, the word is Shem, S-H-E-M. The Hebrew teacher would pronounce it more like Shem than just Shem. I'm just a country boy. What does it mean, the name of the Lord? It means everything He is, His honor, His reputation, His renown, His character. Let me tell you, we're doing our best preaching, hope we get an amen, when we're bragging on Almighty God. He preached the name of the Lord. Was there sin rampant? There was. Is there rebellion everywhere? There is. But no matter how dark the night, thank God I know the solution to the issue. He preached the name of the Lord. Well, I like that. God's blessing, First Baptist Church of Fletcher. People are being saved. New folks are coming. Every year, God's just added to you incrementally, numerically, and spiritually more than that. But you know why? Thank God for Brother Roy Waldrop. Thank God for the music. Thank God for the organist. But I'll tell you why God's blessing here. The name of the Lord is being exalted. What's his name? Urijah. Urijah. I wonder what Urijah means. Urijah. J-A-H. Urijah. J-A-H is the shortened Hebrew noun. Is the shortened Hebrew noun for the word Yah or Jehovah. Are y'all getting it? Jehovah. Whatever his name means, it's got God's name hanging all over it. He is something. of God. Urijah. The Urijah. It is a little, and it's a very short Hebrew noun. It's O-R-R, and it's the name for, preacher, you might appreciate this. It's the name, the Hebrew name for light. Like those chandeliers, like that spotlight that's pointed down to light, light. You know what Urijah means? Hope I get a little help here. God is my light. God is my light. I don't want my intellect to be my light. I don't want my education to be my light. I want God to be my light. We have met the preacher. Surely there'll be a little more about him, and there he is. We're still in verse 20. Look here. Urijah, the son of Shemaiah. The son of Shemaiah. And I'm going to have to speed up, and you'll pray that I'll be able to. His daddy's name is Shemaiah. Shemaiah. I wonder what in the world that means. And this is significant, or I wouldn't even be, we could skip the definition. Shemaiah, who reared Urijah. Shemaiah. Shemaiah. The J is silent, but that's still that Jah sound. Shemaiah, it's got that Jehovah suffix. It's got something to do with God. Shemaiah, Shema. It is a verb. And we'll make it a noun, but it's a verb in Hebrew. And it says this. I hope I'll get an amen. God have I heard. God, if God speaks tonight, I sure do want to hear Him. How about y'all? God, have I heard. That's His daddy's name. That's the kind of testimony His daddy lived. That's the kind of life, the example dad set. If you live like you've heard God, you'll probably lay some children who'll say, God is my light too. Hallelujah. Well, where they live, and this, we will skip this. They live in Kirjath-Jearim. Kirjath-Jearim. It means city of the woods or village of the woods. If you'll smile, I'll tell you, they're country boys. They live out in the woods. Can I just thank God a minute? I'm glad He's got city preachers. Dr. W.A. Criswell was one. Oh, how eloquent. I'm glad He's got city preachers. Oh, Dr. Harry Ironside was one. But I sure am glad He calls country preachers too. Hallelujah. Oh, Amos, the minor prophet Amos. He said, I wasn't no prophet. He said, my daddy wasn't no preacher neither. Said, all I was doing is out there in the field plowing. Said, I picked figs off the fig trees. I plowed my animals. Said, one day God come by and arrested me. He took me and I'll need an amen. He sent me to preaching. Amen. I'm glad God calls country boys. Don't you let anybody put you down. If you don't feel like you've got the education you wish you could have got, don't you let anybody diminish your potential as a preacher. You say, well, I dangle infinitives and I split. I dangle participles. I can't even figure out what to dangle. I dangle participles and I split infinities. Preacher Bagwell, what? If God called you, if the Holy Ghost has filled you, you are a man of God. He's just a country preacher. Verse 20 tells me a little bit more about him. Said he prophesied against this city, Jerusalem, and against this land, Judah, according to all the words of Jeremiah. He prophesied against the city and the land of the nation. He prophesied against them. We are taught much today about the value of being a positive preacher. We write books about the power of positive thinking. We are told now to preach to people's felt needs. We are made to feel guilty if you don't enjoy the service immensely.
They are instructing our future preacher boys that you just don't deal in negativity. Excuse me, Ahijah didn't get the memo. He didn't hear about that one. Thank God for, I don't mean in an ugly way. I don't mean in a bitter way. I don't mean in them I'm right and everybody else and I'm holier than that. I don't mean in that old stinking attitude of pride. But thank God for preachers who will still preach against sin. If abortion is wrong, if killing babies is wrong, go ahead and preach about it. And down the line you could go. He preaches against it. Yeah, but preacher, and he's criticized for this. It says he preached the words of Jeremiah. It says he preached the words of Jeremiah. Preacher, it should have said he preaches the words of God. Preaches the words of Jeremiah. Listen up. A lot of you were here Sunday morning. If it's the words of Jeremiah, I'll take an amen. It is the word of God. God said, son, I'm touching your mouth. I'm putting my words in your mouth. What you speak. And I'll empower you. I'll protect you. Hey, I'm glad when Roy Waldrop goes to the pulpit, you don't get a bunch of philosophy. You don't care psychology. You don't care current events. You don't care politics. You care the word of God. And that makes the difference. First Baptist Church of Fletcher. Preaching the words of Jeremiah. Hey, you know where I learned to preach? Only place you can. I sat and Mom and Dad had me in church all the years of my life. I'd sit there. My daddy had a rule about wiggling. That's what he called it. Wiggling. Y'all don't even know what wiggling is. I'll show it to you. It means this. That's wiggling. It wasn't good where I brought up. You just can't do that. My dad, he'd point that finger at me. He'd cut those hairs. You didn't wiggle in church. And I heard Gordon Taylor preach. I heard Darrell Toby preach. I heard Dwight Gustafson preach. I heard Billy Kelly preach. I heard Jack and Oliver Green preach. You know what little I know about preaching? I learned hanging around godly men in the pulpit preaching the word. The only way you go, where'd this fellow learn? Who's his disciple? Who's his mentor? Jeremiah, the man of God. You can't learn in a better place. You sure learned in a good place, brother. Are y'all all right? Let's go to verse 21. I got an announcement to make. We found my watch yesterday. Deb found it. And I brought it tonight and I left it in the car. I mean, accidentally I left it. The preacher said, don't worry about it, don't bring it. And I didn't and I don't have it. So you pray, if you will, for me. Verse 21. When Jehoiakim, the king, and all his mighty men and the princes, when they heard these words, his words, they didn't like it. They didn't like it a little bit. I'm going to take 3 minutes and tell you a little bit that's going on in Judah. Jeremiah's already said Babylon is going to march and destroy our land. We don't repent. The king didn't like that a little bit. Oh, let me tell you who put King Jehoiakim on the throne. The Pharaoh of Egypt. His loyalty is to the south, not to the north. The king believes that Egypt will be his salvation. He believes that the Assyrians might someday destroy the Babylonians and Israel, still in sin, Judas, will inch through without a problem. And he doesn't like it when some preacher messes up the program.
Jeremiah said, I'll give you a bit of advice. Submit to the Babylonians. Take your whipping from God. Listen to this. You'll only be there 70 years and God will release you and bring you back home. Do God's will and don't rebel. Amen. And the king absolutely refuses to do so. We will depend on Egypt. Boy, I got to get this in my 3 minutes. Okay. This thing just got political. The in crowd wants to do that. The man of God says, no, we ought to do that. The king doesn't like what he hears. See if I get an amen. Much of what we're going to have to preach as Bible believers, fundamentalists in this last day will go against the grain of popular opinion, of current ideas, and of political expediency. It'll rub that crowd the wrong way. That'll get you in trouble in a hurry. That's exactly Jehoiakim did. Oh, this Jehoiakim, let me tell you about him. He's the son of Josiah. Good King Josiah has a son who is bad King Jehoiakim. One day, God gave Jeremiah a message. Stay with me. I've blown my 3 minute rule, but stay with me. He wrote it down in a scroll. God said that, by the way, Jeremiah was in jail when he wrote it down. He couldn't go preach it, preacher. So his buddy is amanuensis, his secretary, Baruch, B-A-R-U-C-H. He says, I'll go read it for you. He goes up in town on Main Street and reads the sermon. It's one of them rough ones again. Folks get upset. It's no time till King gets word. Jehoiakim gets word about this sermon, this scroll, this portion of the Word of God. The king said, bring it here. He was in his winter house. The fire was blazing. And King Jehoiakim took his knife, cut the Word of God to pieces, threw it a little bit at a time in the fire, and burned it to ashes. That's King Jehoiakim. Could I say something? Hope I'll get an amen. He's still got some relatives around today. Still a crowd questioning our Bible, trying to cut it and clip it and re-edit it and rearrange it. I say, let her sit just like she is. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with it. Soon as Jeremiah got word the scroll had been burned by this wicked king, God says, smile at me. God says, write another. And this time we're going to add to it. It's going to be worse than it was the first go around. Hey, we better let God's word alone. It's that Jehoiakim. He is going to make some. He would have put Jeremiah to death if the crowd hadn't risen up and voiced their opinion. He'd still put him to death if it could lay his hand. I got to get back to my verse 21. I may bring two Bibles tomorrow night just for safety's sake. Jehoiakim, the king, and his mighty men, they heard it. The king sought to put him to death. Preacher, that verb sought means to search out. It means to diligently inquire. He put the FBI on it. He put the CIA on it. They're looking for this king. They sought him to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and he fled and he went into Egypt. I got a feeling some of you have been waiting for me to get right here and say, what's he going to do with that? He fled to Egypt. Should he have fled? I doubt it. But you're not going to hear one word of condemnation from me. I'll say this, thank God, help me with an amen. Before he fled, he sure did preach it straight, didn't he? You think I'm going to put him down for running? I don't know what I'd have done. I don't know if I'd have gotten as far as he got. Hey, listen to me tonight. Thank God. We can look at each other. We can criticize each other. You can nitpick your Christian brother or sister half to death. What we better start doing is reverse that, and we better start looking for ways to encourage one another. He has fled to you. I know that Abraham went to Egypt and it didn't turn out so good. You say, well, what's so bad about Abraham going to Egypt? I think when he was in Egypt, he bought him a slave. He bought him a handmaiden. In case you want to know her name, it's Hagar. And he brought her back. And if you're a Bible student like I think you are, somebody smile, you know the rest of that story. Arabs and Israelis and the descendants of Isaac and the descendants of Ishmael. The battle rages on. Shouldn't have gone to Egypt. I'm thinking of the book of Ruth. Elimelech lived in Bethlehem. That word means the house of bread. He lived in a place where God promised provision. But it got rough for a while. A famine came. And Elimelech, I think, unwisely left the land of Israel. Went down to Moab. He buried two boys down there. He died himself down there. His whole family went through trouble. Hey, I just want to say that. Stay where God puts you unless He leads you away. I think I can preach that without being hypercritical. For in these days, and I don't know if it happens this way in the Asheville, North Carolina area or not, but it certainly does in the larger cities down North Georgia, where we're from. Somebody at a church, they'll hear a good gun barrel straight sermon. The man of God will just unload, tell it like it is, give chapter and verse, and somebody will get a little. Does it happen up here? Upset. Little bit offended. And they'll say, well, if they're going to put up with that, I'll just quit going there. I'll move on down the road. I don't have to hear that old narrow-minded person. No, you don't. And you can move down the road. You can go to Egypt. You can go to Moab. But it's likely you will regret it before the trip is over. I don't know why I said that, but I feel real good having said it. I'd stay where God planted me. You say, but it's a looking bad. It's a looking dangerous. He took care of Jeremiah. Guess He can take care of you. Hallelujah. Well, he went to Egypt. Let's see what happens because God didn't even care for it. Verse 23. No, 22. I'm sorry. 22. Jehoiakim sent men to Egypt. Namely, Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him, they go down to Egypt. I don't need to spend time here, but here goes a delegation to search out, capture, and bring the preacher, Urijah, back for trial, sentencing, and execution. They're going to do God's man in and they know why they're going. Elnathan. Let me tell you what the name Elnathan means. It'll blow you away. The gift of God. Got a pretty name. The gift of God. But hear me. Though he had a good name, could I get an amen? He sure didn't live up to it. He's going to try to effect the downfall of a man of God. I'm going to say this. I think I'll have some participation. If not, I'm going to say it anyway. Let God's man alone.
have nothing to do with harming him or hurting him. He's preaching the Word of God, and he certainly is here. You pray for him, hold him up, and ask God to bless him.
El Nathan, the gift of God. I'd want to know what his daddy's name means. I like that daddy business. You can see how they're reared. El Nathan, the son of Achbor. A-C-H-B-O-R. Debbie, I could hardly believe it. I pointed my little mouse there, little Bible program to, you know what Achbor means? I'll tell you what it means if you'll smile. It means a rat. M-O-U-S-E, mouse. A low-down, stinking, good-for-nothing rat. Now, that boy lived up to his name. Say amen right there. Trying to harm the man of God. Why are they doing it? People, see if you'll amen it, people will do anything for money anymore. They're getting paid to do it. They've become popular for doing it. They're obeying headquarters. Hey, stand up against the current. God will bless you for it if your conviction's deemed worthy. Well, verse 23, they fetched him. That's a strong verb. They grabbed him. They arrested him. They apprehended. They fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt, and they brought him to Jehoiakim the king. Come to think of it, I don't read about a trial. I don't read about an appeal. I don't read about the writ of habeas corpus. The king slew him with the sword. He's pretty good with a knife, you know. Cut up the Word of God like he did. He slew him. He'd have killed Jeremiah already. Hey, could I tell you something? The devil would have taken you out a long time ago if God would have let him. He slew him with the sword. The verb slew, it means to kill. I don't know if it ever meaning anything but that. He murdered him with his sword. And I just noticed a minute ago, just looking at the notes before to refresh my mind before stepping to the point, that word slew, it is an imperfect, in a grammatical sense, it's an imperfect verb. That means the action is incomplete. Preacher, it means that he hit him, but it didn't kill him. He hit him again, but it didn't kill him. He slices him one more time, but he's still not dead. It's ongoing. He brutally murders this man of God named Urijah. He slew him with the sword. The word for sword there is a little noun that means something that's wasted. A sword wastes lives. It ends life. Something that is wasted. And the implication, the world would say, pitiful. A young man dying, and he probably was younger than Jeremiah's father. Pitiful. It's a waste. It's all to no good. You hear me? Get a good amen. The death of a saint of God is never, never, never a waste in the eyes of our. He dies for his faith. And I do not read that he begged for his life. I do not read that he quivered and acted like a coward. He stood there. He took what was going to be done. I'll tell you what it was. I'm a little bit ahead of time. This is an anachronism. But the minute the sword hit the part of his body that severed his life, he was absent from the body, present with his Lord. He slew him with the sword. And let me say this, and I don't know if I'll get to finish my message or not. I'm watching you, and I can tell when you get real worn out and tired. But I want to say this, as far as this death being a waste, a death of the saint of God, the death of a martyr never has been and never will be a waste. Precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints, the Bible tells. I read last week, preached on it one night. We were in the Birmingham, Alabama area. I preached on that last beatitude where Jesus said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's Urijah. I read a book about North Korea.
in their attitude towards saints. It was not the current leader of North Korea. It was his daddy who said prior to his death, he said, in North Korea, we have alleviated the problem of Christianity. He said there are no Christians in our country. He said this, and this part's true. He said if we ever find someone suspected to be a Christian, he said if we ever find somebody in possession of the Word of God, he said we do not investigate, we do not litigate, we execute on the spot. They televise public executions of Christians in North Korea, advertising to discourage others from being saved or following the ways of God. I just want to say something. I'll take an amen. I can prove it, but I can't give too much information. There are more of them over there than he thinks they are over there. One of them said this. He made his way out miraculously. Some of them are able to get into China. Very, very few able to get into South Korea, but nonetheless, this man was able to acquire his freedom. And he said, it's amazing. He said, knowing they're going to be slain if they're ever caught. Please smile. Somebody holler, amen. There are people getting saved every week in North Korea. Getting saved every week in North Korea. He said, it is absolutely inexplicable. He said, the blood of one of us gets shed, and he said, there'll be two or three that get saved and take their place. They'll execute five or six, said there'll be a whole family get born again. Can I tell you something? They said it of old. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Hallelujah. We're on the winning side tonight. For me to tell you Urijah's death is absolutely senseless. For me to tell you this man died in ignominy and shame, I will not do it. He's a hero of the faith. Thank God for those who believe it strong enough to lay down their lives for Jesus. Martyr. That's the word we use. Martyr. And I'm almost off base. I got to get back to Malaysia. Somebody pray I can get back on target and end this thing, okay? Sure glad there wasn't no amens there. The word martyr, it's a Greek word. We brought it into English. Martyrus. It is their word for witness. Preacher, that's what it means. Witness. Oh, I can witness, give out tracts. Hope you'll say amen. But a hypocrite can give out tracts. Probably has before, I don't know. I can witness. I go pulpit and preach a sermon. That surely would qualify to some degree. But there's lost people who go up pulpit and preach a sermon. Those kind of witnessing may or may not be real. But I'm fixing to tell you the kind of witnessing no hypocrite will ever do. They tie your hands, put a hood over your face, line you up in front of 7 or 12 men with rifles in their hands, and they're pointing them at your head and your heart. And they say, now recant. Say that you worship the emperor and no longer worship Jesus. And you stand there and you say, Jesus saved me. I will not die now. Listen to me. That's the witness right there. You cannot disprove. Hallelujah. Witness, martyrus, martyr, dying for their faith. That's Urijah. Just say this, I admire him no end tonight. Hallelujah. Years ago when I pastored, this always happening, losing my Bible. As a little old boy, God sent, saved in the church. Sat on the front row, and every minute I was preaching, he had his finger pointed toward my Bible. And all I had to do was glance, and I knew where it was. I miss that little old kid.
There it is. I think we're in the last verse. Let's finish up. Well, verse 12, and they brought him, and the king slew him. Cast, that word means to throw, to hurl, disrespect that dead body into the grave of the common people. Buried him like a dog, throw him in a hole, the common people. No respect, no honor, no funeral, no words of honor said over that man. You say, well, preacher, that's you're painting a bleak picture of somebody that died for the faith. That grave wasn't special to Jehoiakim. That grave wasn't special to any of his captains, any of his champions, any of his leaders. But you mark her down, God Almighty knows where that grave is. I was hoping for a few more smiles right there. How in the world do you think God knows? Because he's coming back to get that body one of these days. It'll be transformed into a that vile body will be changed into a body like our Savior's. Hallelujah. That's a special grave in the eyes of the one that counts. Verse 24, nevertheless, that's an adversity. It serves like an adverb, but it puts, nevertheless, don't miss this, nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam, who is the son of Shaphan. And I want to define those names, but I'm out of time. Ahikam means this. Ah means your brother, my brother in Christ. The Ahikam part means lift up, encourage, elevate. Ahikam means this. Somebody get an amen. I'm going to find a Christian brother today. I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to encourage him. I'm going to do all I can to help him live for Jesus. God gave Jeremiah a friend, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. He was with Jeremiah. Or was he with him? That they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. God, he will not die. They're not going to kill him. We need him to keep preaching the word. I just want to say this, and I believe it with every fiber of my, in God's will. Now, when he's ready for us to go, we ought to be willing to move on. But in God's will, in God's time, I pretty well figure we're safe serving his name. How about y'all? Jeremiah will not be put to death as per the word and the will of an almighty God. I pretty well preached myself out of verses. I need about a minute or two to try to apply it. But you got one man of God, he lived, and one of them that died. What in the world are you going to do with that? I know one lived and one died, but here's what I want the amen. Both of them stood true to God. Both of them preached the word. Both of them would not bend and compromise in a day of promiscuity. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not know what our future is. I do not know how easy or how difficult it's going to be to live in the days ahead. But I do know this. God wants us to be faithful for his name's sake. Don't know if I'll be a Urijah. Don't know if I'll be a Jeremiah. But I sure do want to be a lover of an almighty God. That's the message tonight. It's one of discipleship. Do I admire Jeremiah? I do. Do I admire Ahijah? Or Urijah? I absolutely do, as sure as I'm standing here this evening. I'm going to take two more minutes. I don't think the preacher will mind. Hebrews chapter 13 opens with these words. Remember those of our brothers who are in bonds, who are in jail, who are chained, who are suffering for their faith. Remember them, Paul said. As though we are bound with them. No telling how many in the nations of the world that oppose the gospel, and there are dozens of nations that do, are locked up tonight. Some may have been executed today for their faith's sake, like Urijah was for preaching the word. But I'll promise you this, we ought not to forget them. We ought to remember them. We ought to hold them up. We ought to thank God we're not in that situation, at least not yet in our land. We ought to remember, help me with an amen, they're part of the same body we're a part of. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, Roger, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then the Lord said this, blessed are ye, y'all, when men shall revile you, talk about you, and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For rejoice, again, amen, great is your reward in heaven. I'm going to run that by again. Great is your reward in heaven. Oh, sometimes we American preachers, and thank God there are thousands of faithful preachers, we say, oh, the judgment seat. I can't wait. And I believe you will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I think we're going to be way down the line at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe these martyrs will be up there hearing the precious words, well done. Well done. Enter thou into the joys of our Lord. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Great is your reward in heaven. Now get this, Urijah. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Aren't you glad you know Jesus tonight? Is there anybody here just wants to be faithful to Him? Anybody here, nobody can say what we would do or wouldn't do. Wouldn't you just like to stand true no matter what comes out? Let's stand together, would you? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Our sister will play as soon as she can. I want some folks to come to the altar tonight if God will let you. You don't have to. I'm not going to be ugly about it. I want somebody to come to the altar and on bended knee pray for those saints in North Korea who are having to do everything covertly, secretly, at the risk of loss of life. Bless you, sister, and brethren and sisters. I wonder if somebody would come tonight and pray for some preacher you know. A preacher who's suffering. Who's having all manner of evil said against him. Falsely. I wonder if there's somebody tonight that might be willing to come and to say, Lord, in the face of such dedication, Jeremiah, Raja, I sure do want to be faithful. I sure do want to be loyal to your name's sake. Surely somebody would say, Lord, let me be more faithful to my church. We're faithful to the reading of your precious word. We're faithful to sharing the gospel. You name it as He should lead you. Yes. Urijah fell. He's gone. I guarantee you God called him somebody else to take his place. There could be a young person here tonight, young man. God needs you in the army. He needs you to be a faithful servant. Oh, yield to that call should it come your way. There's a man in Syria today. His name is Boutran. He went out this morning handing out Bibles in a hostile environment. His life has been threatened. He's been jailed repeatedly. He'll go again tomorrow and the next day. Till he's out of Bibles, somebody will give him some more, smuggle them in. Until his life is taken away. Around the world, that's the story. Pray for them. They're part of us. Remember them. Don't forget them. Neglect them. But oh, how we ought to pray for ourselves too. To be faithful. To be faithful. To be faithful. Daddies, live in a way your children can see reality, genuineness in your life, your testimony. Mamas too. The Lord softly and tenderly can call. He can call people to salvation, but tonight He can call people to faithfulness. He can call people to a deeper dedication. You obey Him should He speak to your heart. Let's sing the chorus, just the chorus. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Listen to His call, obey Him, and oh, how He'll bless you. That's it. Could be somebody needs to come home tonight. Now lift it. He sure is.